Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished and successful entrepreneur from Bangalore, India, Mr. Shakir Haque. Shakir, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Good morning.
Shakir is the Chief Executive Officer of NKP Empire Ventures Private Limited. So, Shakir, tell me a little bit about your own journey and what inspired you to enter the hospitality industry, and how has your family's entrepreneurial background influenced your own career?
Yes, of course. to tell you, born in Kerala, we are originally Keralites. Mm-hmm. I was born and brought up in Bangalore. My grandfather started this business about 58 years ago in 1966. Mm-hmm. Started as a very small eatery. Mm-hmm. And my father came down in the year 1978 and slowly took over the business. And for me, my journey, I think, has been quite inspiring as a very young child. I would say in the early 90s, as I was 7 or 8, I would take that opportunity on a weekend, on a Saturday and a Sunday, you know, hop onto the car with my father and, you know, get into the restaurant. That time we were just one outlet in the central district of Bangalore. Mm. From there, you know, each time I would go get there, as the car stops, you have the security guy, you know, coming forward, opening the door for my dad and, mm. you know, giving that salute. Salam sahab. Mm. From there, you know, it's quite inspiring. So for me, my role model has always been my father, my late father. Mm. And for him, as he walks into the restaurant, you know, his eyes going 360 degree across the interiors of the restaurant and finally eventually reaching the kitchen. So before even reaching the kitchen, he starts sniffing around to, you know, check if there is something unusual. And, you know, as he reaches the kitchen, he goes about checking the day's, produce that has been made by our master cooks. We call them masters rather than chefs cooks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they all used to call him Tiger for whatever reason that may be, because, you know, my father always been a very disciplined army officer kind.
Okay.
So from there, it started, you know, understanding each and every nuance, each and every aspect of the restaurant business from, I think, the qualitative aspect to the quantitative aspect, then understanding people. I think the most important thing that I learned from my father was managing people. Mm. In our business, I think if you don't understand people, you don't understand business.
Right.
That's what I've grown up to believe.
Mm.
And winning hearts of the people was the most important aspect.
Mm.
And that inspired my journey across. And in between somewhere, you know, I was more of a very carefree, happy-to-go-lucky person.
Mm.
So my dad always had this worry that would I be serious enough to be part of the business?
Right.
But since a child, I was very sure I'm very inclined to the business. And I want to see myself walking into the footsteps of my father, mm. becoming an entrepreneur that is loved and respected. Because, you know, over time, till date, we have employees who are, I think, more than 3 or 4 decades working with us. And their fond memories of my father inspires us or, you know, motivates me or encourages me to do more. So my entrepreneurial journey with the family business has been, you know, very close to my heart.
Mm.
And I think the passion that I have carried to take the business forward with the business, the family as well. So, you know, I've always learned to be a business first family than a family first business.
Mm.
So I think dad and my grandfather and my uncles have always put forth the needs of the business and its people first before profits and other things.
Amazing. Thank you. What a great response. So my next question, Shakir, is that what goes into building a strong food brand?
I would say, Ashutosh, I think market research, or before that, I think defining brand identity, like, you know, having a vision, a mission, an objective, some values to, you know, conduct business, then having a clear understanding of a market research.
Hmm.
Now, when I say market research, we're talking about the target audiences. What would be the taste and preferences of people? Are there any entry barriers to this business in this particular market?
Mm.
So having a clear understanding of that is very, very important. And I think going forward, we understand what goes into a product development, what kind of a cuisine you're choosing, or you want to focus on a particular product as part of a cuisine. Like, for example, if you want to look at Japanese, you want to introduce just sushis and not the whole of a Japanese cuisine as such. Then I think from there, how do people recognize your brand? You know, you need to have a brand design, like a logo, you know, a name, which would be very easy to remember. Then having a proper marketing strategy and a promotional, you know, campaigns that you can decide on. And of course, you know, you need to have a great a sales mechanism, also a distribution network. If you're into, the FMCG category or not into the restaurant. And you know, with that, I think looking at the qualitative and the quantitative aspect. So, you know, particularly having your quality controls and your quality assurances, and somewhere having a zero tolerance culture, because you know, you have a certain vision of your brand and or product that you or a solution to a problem that you have, and how do you get it amongst your peers, your people? So, you know, having that kind of a zero tolerance attitude is, I think, a need of the hour. Then post that, I think, as a brand or as a business, how agile are you? You know, how flexible are you to, you know, adapt and adopt? So, and, you know, at the same time, have a scalable model that can, you know, help you grow or conquer better markets, greater markets, there where you can innovate, you know, where you put forth strategies that makes you evolve. Towards the end of it, you are selling to the public, to the community. The community building is very important, you know, and also having sustainable initiatives. I think towards the, this call, I'm going to be discussing a lot on sustainable initiatives. Yes, I think that's how, but that's very, what very goes building a great food brand. Yes.
Very interesting. And, you know, generally people say the life of restaurants and food brands is very short, but given all the points that you have told me, I can now understand why your restaurants seem to have a very long and sustainable life. Thank you.
And so also, you know, also a blessing from above.
Yes. Absolutely. That is always the case for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir.
Absolutely. So my next question to you is that, Shakir, you are a third generation entrepreneur. What are some of the unique challenges you face as a third generation entrepreneur?
I think that's a good question, I would say, or rather a very lengthy question. But I'll try to keep it very brief. You know, for me, as a third-gen entrepreneur, it's been 5 years since I've taken over as CEO. But I have my tryst with Empire for the last 14 years. 2009 was where when I started. And that time, it was rather a dream of managing a business rather than a family business. Then as you're maturing, as you're getting into that, you understand the nuances, the intricacies of the business, you start feeling the pressure. I think one of the most unique challenges I would have faced would be the legacy expectations from our seniors. You know, I think they have given their blood and sweat. And how are these guys going to taking it forward with their modern exposure and modern approaches? Would that align and sync with our objectives and value system?
Right.
And I think managing the family dynamics is quite a challenge in today's world. You know, basically, when I say dynamics, I'm talking about relationships. So we are four brothers as part of third generation, my older brother plus two of our cousins. So there would be differences, there would be conflicts between seniors as well as juniors. So it's about how you, you know, go about handling these conflicts and disputes, looking at the bigger outcome. And, you know, the big picture is always in front of you. So keeping that in mind, you have to be steadfast in how you're managing your relationships.
Right.
I think one point I would want to add, two more points I would want to add there is the skepticism, the perception that people have. You know, when I say 30, 40 years, people have been here, that they worked with my grandfather as well as my father. So they have a certain level of expectation. How are we going to meet that? That is a certain pressure. Then I think adding that professionalism within the traditional value system is going to be a unique challenge too. Yes, sir.
Very interesting. And do you face any challenges when it comes to balancing traditional family business values with modern entrepreneurial practices?
To an extent, I would agree with you. Yes, it is a challenge because, like I said, the mindset, the perception, some may have a very old school thinking in a way they don't want to be getting into the trial and error mode or, you know, do something unusual that we have never done. Because it is a proven record of successful, you know, business acumen. So they're like, you know, we've been doing this for many years. Why do you want to do it? So my dad was always very against marketing and advertisements. Word of mouth is the best. So if you're doing, trying to do marketing, trying to sell, that means you're not doing something right. And, you know, embracing change. Embracing change, I think there is a lot of resistance that always comes from older employees. And I think, yeah, communication and collaboration would also be a serious, you know, challenge when you're trying to balance that. So a clear, crystal clear communication is something that would help in a balancing out traditional versus modern value system.
Great response. Thank you. My next question is that, you know, in the food business, constant innovation is required. How are you incorporating innovation into your own business model?
Sir, I think for me, when it comes to innovation in food, I would say for us Indians, food is very sacred. And, you know, I believe in keeping originality and authenticity to its core. So we don't try a lot of fusion techniques with our food because we call ourselves to be a very daily nutritious brand, or daily brand where people don't actually plan on coming to Empire, but you just end up in Empire just to, you know, feed your hunger. So I think here innovation, I would say, is menu innovation, the way the menu feels, the way you have your people order your food, and, you know, innovation in having sustainable initiatives and innovation in your delivery and takeaway, like, you know, having a very quirky packaging, a way of ordering involving a lot of artificial intelligence. And, you know, because artificial intelligence can help understand tastes and preferences of your customer and curate very personalized things for you. And I think having creative marketing strategies would be where we could be innovating in what we are doing today.
Thank you. You know, you just mentioned artificial intelligence, Shakira, and that leads to be my to the next question. How are you using technology to transform, if I can use the term, a traditional food business?
I would like to, you know, go back to a bit of history. You know, when we started off, orders were taken without any manual writing as well. The waiter would come and say, this is that. He would have a very sharp memory. But as things evolved, it started changing. You know, order went on to be manual in a booklet where you had a KOD system that would go into the kitchen. And then you had a barker shouting for your order. Then we would have somebody called as a writer who would, you know, note all the products that is going out of the kitchen. That was manual because each waiter would have a name on top and the item list. So we would be putting in marks and then scratching it out end of the day, doing a reconciliation. That went on to get into a computerized system. From a computerized system, we got into something known as the point of sale, where the orders were taken, the cashiers and, you know, these guys had the system. And then, you know, with point of sale came in your inventory management. Then in the year 2007, we launched our dedicated call center where we had the EPA BX integration system. Now, I think technology, we have an enterprise resource planning system. There are multiple apps that we use within, which we have developed in-house also for our operational aspects. Then very interestingly, in our new center of excellence, we have something known as an MES, that is a manufacturing enterprise solution, which large FMCG companies as well as manufacturing companies use. So I think we've adapted technology at a very early stage, sir.
Right, right. Very interesting. So next few questions are for you personally, you know, at 36, 37 to lead such a big organization. How would you describe your own leadership style and how has it evolved over the years?
I think, yes, I think that is quite a personal question. I think you should be asking my team rather than me. But yes, I think for me, I've always tried to be, I would like to leave the power in the hands of the people. And my predecessor, who was a non-family, you know, executive managing the show for us, had a very, you know, what do you say, a one-man show kind of an attitude where, you know, everything should go past him. But somewhere it did help because, you know, having the zero tolerance culture needed that. But for me, I think decentralization is something that I always believed in. Delegation is something that I believed in. And, you know, identifying the right people for the right job is something that I go with. And I follow a lot of great personalities, like Bill Gates once said, you need to find the laziest guy for the most toughest job, and he would find the most easiest way to do it. And here, where I'm involved is predominantly managing people, because we are in the people business rather than food. So, you know, giving power into the hands of people has always been my style. And I'm a better listener than a speaker. And I like to hear from my people of what is happening and how we've been doing as a board or as a management. And we consider, because that was a value, you know, what do you say, incorporated or imbibed at a very early stage in our childhood. Because we've seen, like I said, you know, I've seen my father and grandfather treating people. So for me, it's always people before profit. Yes, sir.
Very well said. And, you know, you've given me the segue to my next question. You know, given your grandfather and father's values of treating people, how do you embed your own organization's cultures and values into your everyday operations?
I think the first and the foremost thing I would say is having a clear communication channel. If you don't express your mind, you know, or what you want to achieve, and you can't do it alone, you need your people to do it with you. So having a very clear-cut communication, you know, you need to go to the lengths of speaking their own language, even to the last man standing. With that, I think we do a lot of training and development. We have verticals such as training and internal control, where they go about, you know, training people, not just on what they have to be doing at the job, but also holistically, spiritually, you know, giving them awareness of various things. And then, like I said, you know, we need to lead by example. So all our leadership teams, our leadership members are all homegrown, organic team members. You know, we have very few professionals working directly in the organization, but yes, we do work with a lot of consultants. And again, you know, employee feedback is something that we always, you know, take into consideration. And lastly, I would say rewards and recognition. That is something we started 3 years ago, and I think it's working phenomenally well. And our attrition rates have reduced greatly with that.
Interesting. Very interesting. You know, when I was reading about you, one of the other interesting things that I picked up was that you want to take your brand global.
Yes, sir.
My question is, what are some of the biggest challenges and opportunities you foresee in your journey to become a global brand?
I think, yeah, that is quite a heavy question, I would say. I think when I say global food company, we've always been a restaurant brand, and also having a bit of rooms here and there. You know, we would never call ourselves to be a hotel, but rather a restaurant company. And why the vision of global food is, I have a story to tell. I think 6 decades of you know, history and heritage that I could share. Let's say I want to take that in the form of a small packet. And, you know, it would rather be quite tedious for us to have restaurants in every nook and corner of the world. But let's say, you know, I have our signature dishes put in the form of a packet and it's housed in your shelf at home. Let's say I've been inspired by brands like Nando's. You know, they have restaurants, plus they have their own sauces, their secret sauces, which is across, I think, every home. So keeping this in mind, you know, the challenges that come along with it would be, one of the greatest is we focus on 3 P's. That is people, process, product. So for us, the biggest challenge would be the people factory, you know, managing that whole people factory. Today, we are at 3,400. I think going forward, that would increase. So managing that people factory, aligning them to the vision that we have, having a very zero tolerance culture to the vision and the objectives and the goals that we have is what, you know, I would see as challenges going forward. And building a brand, I would say we rather focus on being a regional food brand, having global, you know, reach. So when I say regional, it is most of these big brands or large companies could not achieve that regional success in curating those products. So we want to focus on certain regions, which is quite popular across the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having that expertise in creating those flavors and, you know, tastes. So we are working with great technocrats. We have built a beautiful center of excellence as a system, which is going to help us, you know, move around our goods, have greater shelf life, better freshness, on par quality of what we would cook in the kitchen as well as what you would get in the packet. So this is how, you know, we have seen or put up a strategic plan going forward to making ourselves to be known as a global food company rather than just Empire as a restaurant company.
Very interesting. I have time for one more question for you.
Yes, sir.
And this question is for the many people who will listen to our conversation. You are a young entrepreneur in a family, three generations of entrepreneurs. What would you say are three lessons that you would like a lot of our viewers and listeners to take away from your own learnings and from your own journey?
I think the first and the foremost would be having that mindset or that attitude towards success.
Mm.
That need not be money. You know, success is not measured by money.
Mm.
So, you know, for me, when I say having that positive attitude as well as that dedication and determination, it all comes down to one thing, you know, having that discipline. That discipline is something very important for you to get wherever you want to, you know, whatever you want to achieve in life, that discipline is very important.
Right.
That discipline could be, you know, spiritual, even your prayers, or even, you know, as simple as waking up at the right time and watering a plant that you really like. You know, I'm not saying go to the gym or you have to be learning. No. When I say discipline, whatever you love doing, it has to be done in a certain way which you feel is on par with your excellence or with your definition of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing would be, you know, listen more and speak less.
Mm.
That is something that I've always learned from my father and a lot of my mentors that I have today. You know, it's a blessing to have mentors.
Yeah.
So listening is always, you know, better because, you know, you listen, you understand, then you learn, and then you react. So, you know, why I would say this is because I've always been taught by my father where he said, first, observe, understand, learn, then react.
Mm.
That's what makes you a great leader than an entrepreneur.
Mm. Great, great words, yeah.
Third one I would say is having faith.
Mm.
Faith, not spiritually, but, you know, that mental stability is required. You know, whether if you feel it is right and the world is telling you it is wrong and you know somewhere, no, I have to believe in my instinct. So that gut feeling is something you have to understand really well. You have to work well with your gut to make that call, which would be a leap of faith. And it has helped me tremendously in the last 14 years of my life. Yes.
How amazing. Shakir, on that note and your three amazing lessons, have a mindset for success. And you've clearly stated success does not necessarily mean money.
Yes.
Second, your father's very wise words, listen more and speak less.
Yes.
And third, you said, have faith in yourself, which really meant have the mental stability or the mental strength to be able to see through whatever your own thoughts are.
Absolutely.
Thank you for speaking to me, Shakir, about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me at such length about NKPM, Empire Ventures Private Limited. I think you highlighted some very fascinating challenges, opportunities in the food business. I love the way you are so modest and keep giving credit to not just a lot of your people who've been with you for 30, 40 years, but also to your grandfather and your father. Good luck in all your globalization efforts. I'll keep watching you from the sidelines and all the very best.
Was a pleasure. Thank you very much, Ashutosh, and all the best to The Brand Called You. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world.
Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.